my humble cry. Thou on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by, gentle Savior. Jesus, do not pass me by. Father, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless your holy name. Thank you for counting us among the living.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for this first Tuesday in the month of March.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, for this first Bible study program in the month of March. Thank you for all that you've done, O Lord, in January and February. We thank you, Lord, for this new month of March, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you please come and teach us your word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask, O Lord, for your Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask, O Lord, for the grace to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We bless the holy name. We welcome you, God the Father,
Amen.
God the Son,
Amen.
God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please come and have preeminence in all that we do tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise Master Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
So by the grace of God, we will be taking our reading from John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. That will be our main text. And I read, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We shall be free indeed in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
By the grace of God, the title of tonight's topic is sin. We're talking about sin. What is sin? Why is it that one of the ways you can describe sin as man's greatest enemy? What is sin? So from the dictionary definition of sin, sin is an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Sin is the very act of disobeying the Almighty God. So we're going to talk about what is sin. What we must do as children of God to avoid sin, to live a life above sin, because it is possible, irrespective of these false doctrines that says once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you can do whatever you like. No. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, gives us the grace and the strength to live a life above sin. But it is for us to, it is for us to give our lives to Christ, of course, that's the first thing. And to hold on to our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to be perfect. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to go into a couple of points of sin, the dangers of sin. Now, what we learned about sin is that sin can derail one's relationship with God. Sin can derail one relationship with God. It can put a stumbling block. It can put a wall between man and God. And that is why we must avoid sin by the help of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it by our own. We need the help of God. Let us look at the case of Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. And God made two great lights. Oh, sorry, that's Genesis chapter 2. Yes, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God had given everything unto Adam. He only warned him not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we look at what happened in Genesis chapter 3. If we read from verses 1 to 13, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. From that passage, let us look back at Genesis 3, verse 1, where it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. One of the things the devil tries to do is he tries to get people to commit sin without them even realizing that it's a sin. It's only those who have the discerning of the Spirit. That is why it's very important for us to always discern, to have a discerning spirit. Because something may not always look like a sin right off the bat, but it is our prayer the Holy Spirit will lead us and direct us, and we will not fall into sin in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Look at the question he asked her. Yea, had God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He was now questioning what God had already commanded them to do, to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But look at what he was doing. One who is not strong in the faith, who is not standing firm in the word of God, can easily be deceived. And we can see that today in the world. What are all these false doctrines that are going on now? Like, for example, some people will say, does it really say that we have to pay tithe? Are curses attached to it if we don't pay tithe? Does it really, is it only man and woman that represents marriage? These are all things that devil is throwing at man. And unless you discern the spirit, unless you study the word of God, those are things that people can fall into. We will not fall into any trap of the enemy in the name of Jesus. There are so many false doctrines going on now. He was now saying, did God really say that you couldn't eat of it? And now, if you look at it, he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the devil tries to get someone to sin, he covers it around with a desire. That is why, as children of God, we must examine ourselves. What is your desires? What is your motive? He now enticed her by talking about the tree that is good, that, oh, you'll become like God. You'll become powerful. And that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to give you things in a very deceiving way, saying that, oh, you can have a lot more if you just do this. God has already given them everything. And yet the devil was deceiving them to saying that they can have more. All you have to do is, you don't have to necessarily listen to what God is saying. And that's what's going on now and today. And that's why we must be very careful. Even if you look at it, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted by the devil in the desert, when he was after 40 days fasting, look at what he was saying. He was telling the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who owns everything. He said, I will give you all of this. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. But our Lord Jesus Christ showed an example of what we are supposed to do as children of God. Anytime the devil comes to try to throw things at us, use the word of God. It is written. It is written. Even when some thoughts may try to cross your mind that is not in conformity with the will of God, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And then also do those things that will not allow you to have immoral thoughts in the first place. So when we talk about sin, sin brings curses upon one's life. And we can see in Genesis 3, 16 to 19. Genesis chapter 3, 16 to 19. It says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Praise the Lord. Look at what sin caused. Look at what the committing sin brought into the world. Originally, women were supposed to give birth without pain. There was no need for you to struggle to look for work. Now, because of sin, sin has brought so many things, so many hardship. And if you look at verses 23 to 24, it says, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Praise the Lord. For those of us who just joined, the topic tonight is titled Sin. And our main text is from John 8, 31 to 36. John 8, 31 to 36. So looking at it, Adam and Eve, like I said, they had everything. God had given them everything. And yet the devil was trying to throw something at them by saying that you can have more. And we can relate that to lust. God has already given you everything, yet you want to have more. Or another example of that is greed. Praise the Lord. So like I said, what are our desires? Let us examine ourselves. Let us examine our lives. That our motives and desires will not drive us into committing sin. Now, if we look at the third point, he that is born of God cannot commit sin. He that is born of God cannot commit sin. Let us look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. Praise the Lord. So if you are born of God, you cannot commit sin. And how are we to overcome sin? With the help of the Holy Spirit. We are to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us, that the grace to live a life above sin, the Lord will release it unto us in Jesus' name. The fourth point is where sin remains, the grace of God will not abound. Romans 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? When our Lord Jesus Christ came onto this earth to die on the cross for our sins, he now gave us that access to have that true relationship with him. But for us to key into that victory that he had on the cross, we must live a life of holiness, a life that glorifies his holy name. Let us look at Luke 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. As you have given your life to Christ, we are to look forward, we are to move forward, we are to never look back. It is our prayer that we will never backslide in Jesus' name. If we look at Proverbs 14, verse 14, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The next point is one sin can affect several generations. What you do, good or bad, can affect those around you. Let us look at Deuteronomy 5 verse 9, Deuteronomy 5 verse 9 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. If you look at the story of Achan, his sin not only destroyed him, but his family as well. What you do, like I said before, good or bad, can affect the lives of others. That's why it's very important that everything you do glorifies God. Let us look at Joshua 7, verse 1. We know this story very well. The children of Israel went to Ai and were defeated by Ai. If we look at Joshua 7, verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed the trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And if you go further, On our own time, right, we can look at that whole entire chapter, Joshua 7. But if we go further to verses 18 to 26, it shows what happened when they found out it was Achan that carried the accursed thing. And that was the thing that ultimately led to children of Israel being defeated by Ai. And he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, laid them out before the Lord. Verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. It is our prayer that in everything we do, we will not be an Achan to the kingdom of God in the mighty name of Jesus. So we discussed briefly about what is sin, what are some of its effects on our lives, and how we must overcome it. Now we're going to talk about how can I overcome sin? How can I live a life above sin? Let us look at Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. And I read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The first point is how can we overcome sin? Number one, be born again. John 3, verse 3. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If we look at Isaiah 1, verses 18 to 20, Isaiah 1, verses 18 to 20, there's opportunity to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, to live a life of holiness. The Lord said it himself in Isaiah 1, 18 and 20. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Second point is study his word and obey it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. It's our prayer God will give us that grace to be not a hearer alone, but a doer of his word in Jesus' name. look at Psalms 1, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Third point is, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. When our Lord Jesus Christ was leaving this earth, he said that he would give us the Holy Spirit that would guide us into all truth, the Comforter. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you in all that you do. We are to ask for his grace daily to live a life above sin. His grace is sufficient for us. Let us ask for his grace. Let us take it day by day to live a life of holiness. Avoid tempting situations. Now that you have given your life to Christ, now that you have decided that you want to follow Jesus, now avoid those things that will put you back into sin. If you are someone that you used to drink and you don't drink anymore, don't go to those places where you know you'll be tempted to do so again. Even after you have prayed and asked the Lord to deliver you, don't involve yourself in those things. Our Lord Jesus Christ always said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Finally, holiness. Holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 17. 1 Peter 1. 15 to 17. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want us to take a look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Oh, sorry. I mean John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Yes, John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. We have to be very careful, because these days, many so-called men and women of God are found guilty of hypocrisy. They preach the word, but they don't follow it. It is our prayer that as we preach the word of God, we will not be a castaway. It is our prayer that we will live a life of holiness, that we will be an example of true Christianity, even in these last days, in the name of Jesus. So I will leave the floor now to contributions. For those of you that just came in, our topic is sin, and our text is John 8, 31 to 36. And we talked about what are those things that sin does that can destroy a man, destroy his relationship with God, and what are those things we must do to overcome sin. Praise the Lord. Contributions. John 8, 31 to 36.
Can you please tell me what you said about the points?
Okay. Praise the Lord. I mentioned for the first point, I said sin can derail one's relationship with God.
Okay.
And the second point is sin brings curses upon one's life. Then for the third point, I said he that is born of God cannot commit sin. The fourth point is where sin remains, the grace of God will not abound. And looking at Romans 6:1 says, shall we continue in sin and expect grace to abound? God forbid. I also mentioned one sin can affect several generations, using the story of Achan, how Achan's sin not only destroyed him, but his entire family. Then I mentioned how can you overcome sin, and just a couple of ways. First and foremost is to give your life to Jesus Christ, to be born again. Looking at John 3, verse 3. John 3, verse 3. The second point is to dwell on the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and to follow it. To not be a hearer alone, but a doer. That everything we do, Bible study, faith clinic, convention, whatever program it is, they're all avenues of spiritual growth. And we must key into it. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to lead us. But we must make an effort to seek His face. The fourth point is we're to ask for God's grace every day, because we need God's grace every day to live a life above sin. We are to avoid tempting situations, those things that we know that if we're in a certain area that will put us into sin, we must avoid it. Finally, we are to be holy, for God has called us to be holy. God has called us to be perfect, to live a life of perfection, irrespective of what society says. Because these days society says that perfection doesn't exist. But it does exist because our Lord Jesus Christ said so in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So any contributions? Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It used to baffle me how many people sin, lie, they do all kinds of things. Because the main reason I joined Redeem, and you know, because I said, oh, those Catholics, they don't really read the Word, so they can't really know what the Word says. Okay, it's just been told them. When I was a Catholic, I just used to I didn't take anything seriously because I know, but I didn't really sin, but all those small things. Because I know on Saturday, we're all lining up to go and do confession. Okay? So that Sunday, we can all go and receive the Holy Communion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we all sin. I joined the Redeem. I used to be baffled how people who know the Word can still sin. So one day, I was lamenting to my husband. I said, you know, I don't understand. I mean, look at me. I don't do all these things, you know, these big things that people call sin, fornication, all these things, all this blah, blah, blah. And then my husband told me, he said, yours may not be fornication, you know, yours may not be all those big things. You know, those people, they had a problem. So it's the grace of God that can take it away. Then, there's this, do you have a little time? There's this man of God, this pastor. He was in Long Island, Nigerian. And he kept this girl in his house. He was helping her because she was a problem child. So the parents said he should go and stay there. And he had his wife and children. Do you know that every night, he used to leave his room, go down, and sleep with that small girl. Anyway, so I started to think. I said, my husband is right too. All those things are very my problem. But I have a problem because I'm still fighting. I'm still asking for grace. It's not that easy to just leave things alone. And what is my crime? What is my sin, brethren? Who can guess what my sin is? You can guess, I'm sure. Mommy Pastor, you can guess what my sin is. Not a little damn because she loves me so much, she's my dear daughter. So, you can guess my sin. No, don't laugh. You can guess my sin. You know what my sin is? I talk too much. That is my sin. Do you know how I knew it was a sin? When I was reading Revelations, I was breaking it down. And when they said the book was opened, okay? And the book was opened. And then they said, and the books were opened. As I thought it was only one book. So there's a book that was opened, and there are books that were opened. So I went to do research. What I found, I was so scared. Sin of idle words. I said, may I not go to hell because of idle words? May I not go to hell? What am I talking? I don't understand. So I said to ask God for the grace to shut up my mouth. When I started to say to myself, shut up, I can't help myself. So you see, sin is sin. Isn't that true? Whether big or small, how can I avoid it? Grace. I keep on asking for grace. The grace is not rich. Maybe when I'm 90, I'll get that complete grace. Praise the Lord. I don't understand.
Praise the Lord. Before I go into more contributions, sir, you are welcome. God bless you. Our topic is on sin, and it's our text is John 8:31-36. John chapter 8:31-36. Praise the Lord. Dami, go ahead.
Okay, so when it comes to the topic of sin, I'm always worried, especially when it comes to us in the Pentecostal movement and the Nigerian, community sometimes. I'm always worried the way we kind of have on sin. And we forget that Jesus is our righteousness. There is nobody, like Mommy said, maybe when she gets to 90, there is nobody that doesn't have one thing or the other that they are facing, that they're struggling with. Your own might be your thoughts. Your own might be, you told one lie today. The temptation will always be there. None of us is, Jesus. None of us can. And that's why Jesus said, he without sin, please cast the first stone. Jesus is the only one that can say he's man and he's righteous. But when we sin, the idea is that we must not remain in that sin. The moment you realize your sin, the moment the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, the idea is to run back to God. There is that thing that sin separates God from man. That's not what's supposed to be. The moment you sin, run back to your Father. That's why Jesus came. If we don't run back, that's when the enemy can come in. But the moment you sin and you recognize it as sin, that's why he said, come, let us reason together. That's why he sends Jesus. If not, we will still be following the old traditions and we will wait for once a year for a high priest to go and sacrifice the lamb. There is one lamb. He has been sacrificed. The moment they sin and you recognize that sin, let's stop telling people that, you have done something bad. You have to pay this one. Yeah, that one is legalism. That's legalism. When somebody sins, we need to tell them, run back to Jesus. That's the only salvation. That's the only way out. Go back to Jesus and he will forgive you. There is no sin that is unforgivable. None. If Paul could be absolved and become the biggest the most popular apostle. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. The idea is we must let our people know that once you sin, go back to God immediately.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When we are treating sin, we have to be very careful. Because if you look at all the statements of our Lord Jesus Christ, for that woman who committed adultery, he said, sin no more. In other words, if you have committed something, don't go there and pick it up again. Our Lord Jesus Christ went further, even in adultery. They talked about touching. They talked, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were thinking of real physical, you know, adultery, taking another person's wife. But you see, our Lord Jesus Christ said, once you set your eyes,
you lust after someone.
And you're lost. You start to lust about a woman who is not your wife. You already committed adultery. You saw somebody dressed, packed, and everything. And you will continue to fix your eyes on that person. You have committed sin right there. That's why the Bible tells us, I don't know the verse now, probably. If you know the verse, where it said that we should flee from what appears to be evil.
And then also Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Whoso confess
and forsake.
That is, once you turn like this, it's not 360. When people talk about turning from the sin, 360. If you start to turn 360, you will come back to that sin. In other words, your journey should be 180. Once you turn that 180, you're not coming back again. But you see, many of us don't understand this thing. Again, I love when we cry to God, have mercy on us, have mercy, because anyone who is born of a woman, they have sinned. We know that. But you see, we cry, have mercy on us. The same sin that you committed 5 hours ago is the same thing you commit. Our God is so, you know, merciful. If it has been the Old Testament, you know how many rams you will be killing every day, or any goat, because definitely they use the blood of the ram, goat, for the sin. So you commit a sin and you just call somebody out. I mean, mommy is talking about talking too much. Have you seen people on the road? How many times they raise finger for you? You just have to shake your head. Thank you very much. It's well with you. We are good. You see, some of us, the so-called Christians, when somebody said, damn, I'm talking about swearing, real swearing. When the FF is going, then you will see them again. You call yourself Christian. You too, you already committed sin right there. Those are the things that we need to watch. It is not the big sin we are talking about. I mean, a lot of us, we know for sure that adultery or fornication. I told some people, know I'm only used to make that fun here. I don't hug another man's wife. I have reason for it. I don't want to hug you and I start to feel some, you know, and Satan start to send some message to me. So I told them, shake me. When you shake, I'm gone. Because you see, you have to flee from what appears to be evil. Never let us not keep. I'm talking about myself. Some people can do it. When you hug another man's woman and you are touching the sensitive area is touching you, then you start to think about this. Then you committed sin right there. No, it is true. So you know there are certain things you don't do. That's why the Bible tells us flee from the appearance of evil. I mean, you see a lot of people like this, they just finish praying, hallelujah, hallelujah, in some of the churches. And that's the time you go out, planning how to go to meet someone in a brother or all the hotel. That is where problem. And men of God are doing it. Benihim, what is wrong with Benihim and that woman? What is the name of that woman? They found them in the hotel. What are you doing with a man of God in the same room? It is going to happen. Please, let's be very careful. Once you get into the room and we're changing, we're doing things, that will come up. So those are the things. When we say run for sin, it is not, you don't put yourself, and we mentioned it, don't put yourself in a situation where you will be tempted. Before you become a man of God, you are a man, and before you become a woman of God, you are a woman. Flesh will kick in. If you go into a situation, Satan will tempt. Satan will tempt. And these are the situations here. That's the scary part of it. And there's nothing you can do unless you start to cry to God, give me the grace. Why do we pray in the morning? I was talking about, I know myself, I get upset sometimes when I've been trying to do something and somebody just crossed me just like that. I will get upset and I will tell you off. In fact, my boss knows, hey, my boss will come every morning and say, are we behaving today? I will say, yes, we are behaving. It's not because he knows, but I pray to God. Every morning, that's if you see some of my prayer, I cry to God, Lord, as I'm going out today, bridle my tongue. Because you see, every small thing we do, causing, and that will not be our portion. You know that Moses, as powerful, as anointed Moses was, only one thing caused him. You remember that they told him just to, and he speak. And then he just used his own bam in annoyance. That's why you see, even our father in the Lord, of recent, we still pray against anger. Anger can destroy your ministry. It can cut you off from God. And you will be crying, you will be lying on the floor, rolling on the floor. He's not hearing you. The heaven has become brass. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to quickly add this verse before I give the mic to Mommy Pastor. If we look at Ezekiel 18, 24 to 26. Ezekiel 18, 24 to 26. It says, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he had done shall he die. Praise the Lord. It is very important. We should make every moment count. It is not that, I was in the ministry for a long time. This one thing is, it's not an issue. I can still continue. It's very important that you must repent and forsake your sins. We can use, I'll mention the story that we've heard before about the founder of Redeem, King Daomi, how when he was at the gate of heaven and they showed him his mansion, but they told him he could not enter unless he goes back and resolves an issue with some people. There was one issue or something like that, and I think it was like he before he died, he didn't make amends with them, but he was given that opportunity to go back. Not many people will have that same opportunity. We must be very careful that everything we do, we should be holy, because at the end of the day, that is what the Bible said. Look at it. It said all his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. That means someone can live a life of righteousness and then at last minute commit sin, die in that sin. That person will miss it. We will not miss it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mommy, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So my own contribution is not all that much. But what I just want to say, like Daddy used to see that general when anytime we was with us, anytime we are discussing, he said that we Christians, we should not be playing, let's say, future prayer, that we pray daily on that issue. You know, the Father, all the days of my life, don't let me die. Every day you wake up, before you do anything you don't want in your life, just tell God. Tell the Holy Spirit to help you. And that is where the grace of God comes in. Because Apostle Paul said that those things that I want to do, that
I do
not do it. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm not supposed, that I don't want to do, that is what I am doing. So that is where the grace of God comes in.
Flesh.
Every one of us, we need it. Even if we don't go out of our house, inside your house, you are committing sin. Doctors of when you go out, there's so many things will cross your path, so people, you know, left, right, and center. And that is the reason why the Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of the world. We should get that one in our mind, so that one will be guiding us in our daily life with God. So each time we are going out, let us just be asking for, Father, give me the grace today not to sin. And if you can identify your shortcoming, just mention it that, Father, today I don't want to do this thing, but I need your help. I can't do it by myself. Help me, Lord. And we see that with that grace will come. It's not easy, but I know that our God is not a liar. And I know that the word of God cannot be returned back to him empty. So when we ask, anything we ask, he's going to do it for us. And I pray that God will continue to help us and give us that grace in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Mommy Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My contribution to our discussion tonight is going to come in different form. I want to start off by saying that for all human, as long as we have the human body in us, we're bound to sin. Okay? And as you rightly said, that it's important for us to repent of our sins. But then we need to first acknowledge that actually there's a sin. So sometimes the acknowledgement is not there. And that is why people fall back and fall back and fall back. And you know, the Bible says that God sees the intent of men. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we are thinking. Most of the time when we look at ourselves, when we keep doing what we don't want to do, deep inside our heart, we have not let go. Deep inside our heart, we don't even want to get rid of them. We don't really want help. So we've forgotten that this God also sees our hearts and knows what our desires. So he's not going to do anything. He's not going to give you the grace to be able to overcome that sin. Because deep inside your heart, you have not let go. So God that sees the intent of man, when he sees that from the depth of your heart, you are really done with this, I think this character, you are tired of it, he gives you the grace as long as you genuinely, you know, ask for the grace. And he gives us the grace to be able not to sin again. Now, we do sin on a daily basis. But when we look at David, we can see with the story and the account that they've given about David, said even though David sinned, but it was never recorded that he sinned, though he made those sins twice. He always made different sins and commits different sins. I guess that's why, because it's not an issue of not sinning. It's the fact that, like Daddy has said, the fact that you don't go back to that same thing that you don't want to do. So that is very key. And Sister Dami raised the point that we should not condemn ourselves, and this is what the devil does. He makes us feel so bad and terrible and say, oh, God can never forgive me. God can never, no, I did this, this is on earth, no, nobody can hear. We should always not allow the devil to bring that evil thought that God is not merciful. God is merciful. And when he says that we should come, let us reason together. No matter how dirty and how filthy your action is, as long as you're genuinely repentant, you really want God to help you and take you out of that pit, then he will release the grace to be able not to do those things anymore. And now, one thing that God has shown me in the few days, I mean, last 2 days, you know, there's some sin that actually are dormant inside of us.
We need to start praying that God should bring out those sins. Sometimes we don't know that we have. That's why, you know, the Jew was talking about stronger than your enemy, and he said that we should stop running away from mountain. We should ask God to bring the lion, because when the lion comes, you get victory. When the sea, you are faced with the sea, he parts the sea. Then we should stop running away from difficulty. It's just to show the glory and the power of God in those times. So there are some things in us that are laying dormant that we don't know of. And it is only the situation that will bring it out. And if the situation doesn't come, you don't know that you have that sin. For example, some people say, I'm not jealous. When something happens, you hear something about your fellow brother and sister, what is the thought that comes to mind? So sometimes you don't know that these things are inside of you, except situation presents itself. So, like mommy said, our daily work should be asking God on a daily basis, Father, help me today. And as Daddy has said, we should stop deceiving ourselves. We know we talk too much. Ask God for the grace. We know we get angry easily. Ask God for the grace. We know that we are always, you know, we are not happy with my co-worker or what. Ask God for the grace to love the unlovable. Ask God for the grace to have thick skin over any evil that your brother or your sister or anybody will do to you. On a daily basis, we need to live our life. Because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Today, this minute is what we have. And we have to ask God for the grace to live at every minute so that we don't sin. Because if God should call us now, we are going to be evaluated by what we have done up until that moment. Not what is going to happen tomorrow or next tomorrow, or what you plan to do, or the people you plan to touch, but the people that you have already touched, like that you've already, what you have already done, that is what you're going to be evaluated on. So as we go in this journey of life, we need to know that all that we are doing, all our shortcomings, we cannot do it alone. We need the help of God. No one can do it except God. That's why the Bible says that His grace is sufficient for us. It's only the grace and by the grace of God that we can overcome all the sins. God Almighty will help us to overcome every sin that, you know, the devil has, you know, that is in us. And lastly, with the first point to make, when you sin, sin can actually make you a victim in the hands of the enemy. And that is the worst thing for a Christian. Pray that God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. I just want to add this because we are learning. Some people go through their minister for, you know, what I can call a prayer for because they sin or something. The veil has been broken. You can go and commune with God. And that's why he said, I am the way. 14, John 14, verse 6. He said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No wonder Jesus Christ is called our counselor and advocate. Many people make that mistake to think that you have to go through someone to get to God. That idea stops in the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died for us, when he said it is finished, the veil of the temple broke into two, which means that you can now go directly, speak to God, confess your sin, and then the Lord God Almighty, your Creator, will answer and forgive. He's the only one who can forgive. You remember that the Pharisees accused him, that who is this man that forgives sin? And he told them that these people don't know that the Son of Man has the power, the authority, to forgive God forgives sin. So that's another thing. Many people, or many of us, still make that mistake. That until when I see this, until when I see that, and you can see that in your house, Lord, I've sinned against you. Just like the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son didn't go to meet anybody to come and beg his father. He went straight to his father and said, Father, I've sinned against you, right? I should not even be called your child again. Just make me one of your servants. But what did the Lord in his parable, what did he say? He took the boy back. Welcome back home. So that's how we are to God. We are the children of God. So if there's anything, go to your father, discuss it, confess, and he will forgive us. Praise the Lord.
Sister,
like Pastor Manchu or Shimolo always says, it's a family matter. You see, who I meet your father is a family matter. But that's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to say there's some sins that we Christians, I don't think we even know are sins. And that's one thing, like the Holy Spirit has been showing me recently, unbelief, doubt, double-mindedness. Those three, and then fear in particular, we practice it and we don't actually realize that it is a sin against God. Because what unbelief is, you're calling God a liar. That's basically what unbelief is. You can't call God a liar and get away with it. And that's sin. And I believe that if we can, so for instance now, like, you know when we hear about miracles happening in the church, so people are like, the lie is fake. Sometimes we have to actually ask the Holy Spirit to show us what is actually happening, and let's not just condemn, because maybe they are not our church member, or it's not our church, or we don't, maybe they are Catholics, and something is happening, a miracle happening in the Catholic church, anything can happen in any church, so long as they are calling on the name of Jesus. So let's not be party to unbelief and fear and doubts and double-mindedness. That's fine.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you, sir. God bless you. I think they just want to have one or two things. I think one of the most important things for every one of us to do on a daily basis is to ask God for the grace. And also, Stadami said something very important, going back to God. See, unless you realize what you have done is a sin, you don't go back to God. Okay? And what my wife said also, unless you are really ready to let go, no matter how many times you return, you know, if you have a child and they are doing the wrong thing, and you say, don't do it again, and they tell that I will not do it, until they are ready to let go, trust me, 2 weeks from now, they are coming back. But I just corrected about it. Ah, daddy, no more. I promise you, another week will come. The thing will happen. So also we. You know, one of the things I learned from one of our pastors, and I do it almost every night, you know, when I had a butch to sit down. Sometimes my wife would think maybe I'm watching TV. Sometimes. No, it's because I decided to now sit down. The man of God said, before I sleep every day, I sit down. I say, Father, bring my days to my remembrance. And I ask God to have mercy. You know, there are so many things we do each day. Even, you know, yes, red light. Thank you. Cross the red light. You know, there are so many things we do. In fact, sometimes you even cross red light, and in you, you are trying to justify yourself. That I'm trying to, you know, but what happened if something else, if you were to go at that, and your enemy was to go at that time, and you get there and they say, sir, you were all good, but this very little hour, you run the red light, is against the law. So that's why it is important. And the reason a lot of people don't think they committed anything. So they don't see any reason why they should be asking God for mercy. They don't. You know, they don't see anything that they've done wrong. You know? And the one is doing so well. If the one they have not been condemned, why would God condemn me? That's the way they are doing it now. But you are different from them. So as we are seated there, let's every time before we end the day, let's ask God, bring my name to my remembrance. Because there are things that you could have said, you could have done, you could have asked, you could have behaved, that at the end, if that was it, it might be a different story. My prayer is that the Lord will help us. And like we said, until you have a genuine heart to let go of things, there's nothing God can really do about it. Because He sees your heart. I can fake anything to anybody here. I can pretend here. But there's one person that keeps saying, keep deceiving yourself. The Almighty God. I can come here and say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord and everything. God is good. But God is looking at you and saying, you know, it's not the right thing. It's not the right thing. And do you know one thing that God gave us that is so powerful? Conscience. That thing is the best that He can give us. Because that thing, it pricks you. That thing will continue to preach. You know what you've done is wrong. You know? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So just,
do we have time? No, we don't have time. Very quickly, it's really very hard to be a Christian in this world. It is very hard to be a person of God. If you don't know it, it is very difficult. No matter of talking too much or lying or stealing. I'm going through a process now. There's something I'm doing. Actually, as we speak, in less than 1 hour, I'm supposed to be in the air. My plane is taking off for Nigeria. I'm still here today because for nearly 3 weeks, I was battling with some fundamental issues. I'm filling out some papers. I didn't want to put down some information that would be like, it's nothing. I'm just putting down something. I said, oh my God, I cannot now sin. You are going to do this thing for me. I cannot now misrepresent some information. It may seem harmless, okay? But when you do it, later on, when you start to have foundational problems, you don't know that little thing you put on that paper, okay? Until I passed for nearly 10 days. I couldn't sleep for nearly, because I've seen God. I don't want to do anything wrong. Not now. Why do I that? You know, please help me, help me, help me. I asked for others, and you know, finally, I came to daddy. I said, I'm having this problem. Oh, I'm trying to feel this thing. Oh, is this a lie or is it truth? Is this this? Is this this? So he put my mind at rest. He said, well, if you do this, this is okay. Then I passed that stage. The next stage, okay, was even more something. It was horrible. You know, and finally, when that money that person gave me, okay, I knew I couldn't do this thing without that money. And I know if I have to tell everything that is, I'm not going to get that's what I'm looking for. And I prayed, I said, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Finally, the thing went through, they accepted everything. Last minute, I don't even know what I did. That day I went to the bank to go and with the money. I hit the car on one side. The flu that I went to the bank, I hit the car on the other side. I said, God, you're trying to tell me something. You know? Not until I die before you show me. And then for over 1 week, I listened to sermons, I prayed, I listened to men of God. The same message. Obey God. Don't do this. This. Ha, finally. When that deal fell through, this is a lot of money. Okay, that I really needed for this thing to go through, over $10,000. When it fell through, when I returned that money, you know, I felt relief that, thank you, Jesus, that I don't even, because in that deal I've gone through, I know what I'm about to do will not going to work out. So it is so difficult in the Christian actually to do anything. It is very difficult to be a Christian. It's even more difficult to be a Christian in Nigeria. It's an impossibility. But I thank God that
God has saved me. I'm supposed to be in the air in less than 1 hour. Actually, as we speak, I have to cancel my flight because of all that delay. Talking to God, brainstorming and brainstorming. But at the end, God has saved me. If you put your trust there, remember, not your husband that did the trust or something, but just focus, faith, so on. I said to him, kids, I have this faith to you. Father, you have to help me. I don't have this money. I don't have the one time. I don't have this. What you do? I said, we just finished fasting. We have gone home. Go and talk to God, Nana. Go and talk to God. Where you get to your closet? Go and talk to God. I go to him, I say, Father, I'm tired. I'll talk to him. I said, I can't go and die. You know, praise the Lord. Oh, this is very difficult, but it's not impossible. You know, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So I just want to end on this point in Psalm 139:23-24. We're going to use that to pray. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Psalm 139:23-24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we are going to cry unto the Lord and say, Father, search me, know me, O Lord. And see if there is any wicked way in me, Lord, deliver me, lead me in the way everlasting, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, help me, help me, help me. Thank you, Father, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that which you have taught us tonight, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, for the grace to live a life above sin. We ask, Almighty God, that you search us, know us, O Lord. If there's any wicked way in us, lead us to the way of everlasting in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.